Ray, you're on mute, sir.
I pulled a Brad. I did it to start the show, but here we go. I'm live from Colorado. We've got a show to talk about some soccer, some Orange County soccer, after a wild match that saw them pick up 3 points in Memphis. We're excited. We're ready to talk about this. Let's get into this. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. Follow us on Twitter at @OCSC_SoccerCast or on Facebook at Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora, and I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. Let's see who's helping me out this week. First, the original, Mr. Dylan. How are we doing, Dylan?
I'm making fun of you and Brad there. I'm doing great. And what a result. That feels a little bit more special than some of the other ones we've had recently. I can't wait to talk about it.
It was a great match. I'm excited to talk about it as well. We got more people helping us. The man from Vegas, Mr. Brad, who apparently I'm copying to start this episode off. How you doing, Brad?
I'm doing well, and I guess I'm copying you by removing all my facial hair at the same time that you decide to remove most of your facial hair.
There we go. It's just a copycat show, I guess, today. A man who has not removed the facial hair for this episode.
I wish he would.
That's Mr. Larry. Well, you know, if the Oloskis both would have stayed healthy, maybe at the end of the season we would have saw that. I guess it's been evened out. You've gotten a trim.
I cut like 3 inches off that sucker last Thursday. So, what a game this weekend. Oh, my word. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me check my checks mute button. No, I'm good. Everybody can hear me. Let's talk some soccer.
Let's talk some soccer. Man, what a great start to this episode. I'm the one that messes up by being muted on this. We have some amazing guests scheduled to join us, so hopefully, barring any technical issues, we'll get to talk to them. But before we do so, we've got to get into this amazing match that saw Orange County come from behind multiple times to beat Memphis in Memphis. Orange County goes down 2-0 early in the match. Comes back to equalize, only to go down 3-2 just before the half. And then the second half saw basically a complete different story, a bunch of cards with no goals until a very late goal from Mr. Bryce Jamison to see Orange County come out victorious against Memphis. I'm going to ask you first, Dylan, when we're watching this match, Memphis scores that first goal, which obviously – there had to have been a very weird, strange bounce for Shuttler to not stop that first goal of the match. But after you saw that, were you thinking, okay, this is one of those matches where it's going to be a long match to watch?
Not necessarily. I think we conceded early enough in the game that I thought that Memphis would have a difficult time holding on for the entirety of the match. And, you know, it didn't take long. McNulty was very, very unlucky to take one off the far post a couple minutes later. I was a little bit worried. I still feel like Shuttler could have done maybe a little bit better with that opening one, but it happens. Bit of an unfinished diamond at the moment, and he's been solid for the last while. I mean, he deserves his spot still. So, and as for that second goal that we let in, that was inches away from careening off, deafening Colin Shuttler, probably everybody else within the six, and making its way probably back to the half line. So,
hey, Brad was laughing right now because I was reacting. I think a bug flew down my back.
No, I was reacting at the careening off the crossbar and going into a different stratosphere.
Okay. You just happened to laugh at the exact time that I'm freaking out about a bug.
Everything's not about you.
It is. It is all about me. Let's talk about this because let's admit, I'll talk to you, Brad. Colin Shetler probably didn't have his greatest performance in between the posts for Orange County. I think that first goal maybe bounces off that weird patch of grass that's covering the dirt on the baseball diamond. He also had a goal where the ball just sort of sits in front of him and a defender, and somehow Memphis is the one that gets their foot to it. How would you rate Colin Shetler in this match? And then, again, just your overall thoughts on this match.
Overall in this match for Shetler, I'll give him out of a 5. I'll probably give him a 3. I don't blame him for the first goal, and the third goal is kind of a cluster anyways that you can't necessarily pin that one entirely on him. I think that's more the defense than it is Shetler. The second goal was just a very difficult executed shot that I believe it's Buckmaster who made that goal. That is, I'll hands off to him. That's a goal of the week candidate from me. And then the second part was the entire game score for Orange County. You know what? This has probably been Orange County's most impressive performance coming from behind multiple times. And this team fought hard for this. And we just saw on our screens the McNulty goal. You know, that guy carried two dudes across the pitch and then scored against the goalie. It was an amazing goal, and you cannot take anything from him there.
Larry, let me go to you. Brad's talking about the McNulty goal. Amazing goal. Probably a really good show of his expertise, his experience as a player. But let's not discount the pass made by Kyle Scott there. That pass has to go in an exact location for that whole play to set up there. A very long pass. What were your thoughts? Who are you more impressed with in that? The pass from Kyle Scott, or the knowing what to do with the ball once it got into that position from Sparky?
Mark McNulty showed that he is a professional goal scorer, that is what he has done now 97 times in league play in his career. And I think that's goal number 129 in his career. That was, the pass from Kyle was fantastic, obviously. I mean, he had a tiny window. He put it in it. But the way Mark ran through those guys and then just, look, you can see it right here. He's running for 20, 25 yards before he even touches the ball, screens a player out, beats the goalie. That is a professional goal scorer. That is what he gets paid to do. And he did it about as well as we have seen anybody score a goal all year. It was fantastic, and so excited to see him. That's two games in a row that he has scored. He has opened his account. I think the floodgates are about to open for Mark.
Let me go to you, Dylan, because we're watching the replay over and over with the Kyle Scott pass to Mark McNulty for the goal. And anytime it pans by, you see Coach Carlson with his arms spread out wide. What do you think he is asking, or what do you think he's saying at that moment when his arms are spread out like that while that pass is being made?
I wish I had an idea, but I'm instead just going to imagine that he knew what was about to happen and was preemptively celebrating.
So I'm going to task our listeners that are listening live to this, share with us just your best quotes of what Coach Carlson is thinking or saying in that moment with his arms spread out wide as that pass travels from Kyle Scott all the way to Mark McNulty. Brad's got an idea.
Yeah, he's saying to stretch the field.
All right, saying stretch the field. And we see Larry went, I believe, in the comments on YouTube and said that he's saying goal. Like 10 seconds before that ball is going to the back end, not 10 seconds, maybe 5. He's already yelling goal is what you're saying.
Sometimes you just know. Sometimes you just know what's going to happen when you're a coach. When you're a player, I would be willing to bet that Marcus Nackham back there on the back line was just sitting there doing this as well with his arms spread going, there it is. So, yeah, he's saying goal. Let's go. Let's get some more.
So now let's talk about this. They get the goal. Then Milan Alaski comes out with a nice chip to tie the match, equalizer. And then Orange County concedes another goal. So it's 3-2. What's going on, Brad? You look confused.
Milan's goal was not an equalizer.
It was not.
McNulty's was.
McNulty's was the equalizer. So Milan's was first, then McNulty's. Mm-hmm. Correct. Thanks for correcting me. And then Orange County goes down again, and then in the what, sixth or something extra minute of the first half, you get a deflected ball, a shot from Ryan Dogman that deflects off the defender from Memphis into the goal. I can't recall if it was considered an own goal or if they gave the goal to the Dogman, because it looked like the shot is on target, which I thought the rule is if the shot's on target, regardless of it being deflected, it's supposed to be the shooter's goal. But who knows? It was considered an own goal. And you go into half, like I would assume most Orange County fans are going into that, the end of that first half of like, okay, we've dodged a bullet. We played pretty poorly on three conceded goals, and somehow we're even with this team going into the second half. How confident were you, Dylan, going into that second half, the fact that Orange County was able to equalize right before the end of the first half?
There was a level of, I almost don't want to say confidence, but I had belief that we were going to get something out of this match just because we kept fighting back and we kept fighting back and we kept fighting back. And I think a year ago, I think 4 months ago, we concede two goals and it's over. We concede a goal and it almost feels like it's over. And instead, we just keep coming back. And it's been a long time since we've done that. And we look good for once, and we goaded them into, I think, being frustrated. And in their defense, if you've scored three at home, you probably expect to win every single match. And instead, it was us who seemed to deal with the Memphis Heat a little bit better.
Let me, because the second half was pretty chippy. A lot of cards being shown. I know Memphis fans felt like they were cheated in this match, but it seems like there was a legit reason for most, if not all, of those cards that were happening. A lot of those calls. Yes, there were some iffy moments where maybe an Orange County player is playing tough or physical against a Memphis player and vice versa. What were your thoughts on that second half, the chippiness? Do you feel like it was a fair outing and performance from the ref in that, trying to play it equally? Obviously, fans get upset, but it's not an easy job, right?
Yeah, I'll field that question. Contrary to what the broadcasters were saying, the ref did have a very, very, very tough job there. I think, especially given the fact that in the second half, like you said, it was getting chippy. Kelly's second yellow card definitely was a yellow card, contrary to what the announcers were saying. But the other yellow card of the second half, the I don't remember the name, but when Partita fouls and then he gets kicked up into, yes, that's a red card. It should be a straight red. Retaliation, a kick, is always going to be a red there. I still would like to see Partita get a yellow, because I really did think that that foul was extremely excessive, and it was worth a yellow. Bruno Laca, that was his name. But the ref, other than that, I think he had a fine performance. He wasn't getting the big important calls, other than missing a yellow card on Partita wrong. And I think he, for the most part, did a good job of trying to keep control of this game when it was clearly starting to get out of control.
And Larry, I'm going to go to you on this last question right now. And this is about that game-winning goal from Bryce Jamison. Thomas Amon gets that pass, controls it, turns, sees a running Bryce Jamison, makes a perfect pass in that situation. And then what we see, Bryce Jamison turns on the Jets against a tired Memphis squad who's playing two men down. There's no way that he misses that goal, right? And he does score it, obviously, but How nervous were you in that situation? Were you confident? Were you slightly nervous? Were you scared that he's going to blow it? What was your thoughts?
I was, as soon as I saw Tomas chip that ball over the top, I did a Morton Carlson. I literally hopped out of my chair and said, let's go. And once Bryce turns on the Jets, I mean, let's keep something in mind. He's 17. There is no stop to that motor when you are 17. And when you're a professional athlete at 17, there's no stop to that motor. You got a tired defense, like you just said. He just blew past everybody. They weren't going to catch him. The only thing that was going to stop him from scoring that goal was a goal was a save of the week, move by the goalkeeper, or him just flat out screwing it up. And neither of those things happened. And it was at that point that I completely yelled at the TV. I was yelling at the TV a lot in the first half. And there was a lot of words that I can't say on the podcast being yelled at the TV in the first half. It was just a beautiful goal all the way around. That chip from Tomas. And, man, I've said it before, but he is so strong. He is so strong on the pitch. And that turn, that little left foot flick, and just beautiful goal. Great way to get the winner. Just really proud of the team this week. They played beautifully.
I'll go to you, Dylan, really quick. Bryce Jamison, he showed some Albie Skendi type speed there, right?
This is why we can't wait to replace you on this podcast.
Overall impressions of Orange County after this match, now one winners, I believe, of 5 of 6. Probably, if not, have to be considered the hottest team and the most informed team in the league. What are you thinking, Dylan? We're now in that playoff picture, and we're rising quickly. Where do you think we are maybe a month from now, 2 months from now, in the standings with this team? Are they going to keep the run going?
I can hope so, and I can't predict the future, unfortunately. I would be a very rich man if I could. I do think it continues if we keep that fight that we had in this match, and we bring that every single week, or however many matches that we play a week. If we do that, we're sitting pretty. Even if it's just fighting back to get a draw, if it's home away, it doesn't matter. That's a game. That's something that winners do. There is, they don't necessarily play well. Maybe they give up 2 goals, but they come back.
Brad, any last final thoughts with Orange County the way they're playing?
I'm super proud of how this team's found its identity. It's Kyle Scott, Milan Olasky, Mark McNulty, and then also Seth Kasipley and Brian Olasky with Mark McNulty, the two triangles. They are finding ways of splitting through the line, of getting the ball from midfield to the back of the net. And it's kind of been a clinic these past couple of weeks, and it's impressive seeing just how much they can produce off of these five players.
Larry, your final thoughts.
My final thoughts, the month of August, we are going to find out how good this team actually is. The power rankings came out today. Charleston, Pittsburgh, San Diego, Sacramento, with us sitting at number 5. Our 4 games in August are against San Diego, Charleston, Pittsburgh, and Sacramento. So we got to play the top 4 teams in the league over the next month. We will find out. Everybody is going to see just exactly how good this team is. I think that the way the team is playing right now, the way the team is looking, the way they have been under Morten Carlsen, this is a dangerous team. If we had this team playing like this since day one, we are sitting on top of the Western Conference by a huge, huge margin. And we lost Ray. Ray, I miss you already.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and take over. Ray gave us one final message before we moved on, asking me to handle some score predictions. So let's talk about those prediction results. Quite a mixed bag from this week. Most people got 3 points for either getting Milan Olasky. I guessed 4 goals somehow last week, and I thought this game would be wild, and I was not prepared for this. The results are on your screen right now. It's still a tight race up at the top. Taylor is starting to catch up, if not ahead of everybody else. So Taylor's taking the lead. Sorry, I misread my own spreadsheet. Taylor is now leading everybody, and everybody else should be afraid. If she was here, she'd probably have some taunting to say. So if you don't want her to taunt on the next show, you better get your predictions in and get those in before the end of the show, and I'll give you a shout out.
Larry, can you do your best Taylor impression for us really quick? Thank you.
So you want me to go into my Scottish accent? Oh, wait, that's not Scottish.
Wow. Oh, my God.
You want me to be a 23-year-old woman with a Scottish accent, bro?
I think she's a little bit older than that.
No, she's 23.
Is it time for our special guest tonight?
One of our special guests.
Well, I'm going to introduce him. Okay, well, Larry beat me to it because Larry's ruining the whole show tonight. Chris Walker.
Yo,
New Mexico's finest. And I say that with no hint of irony, New Mexico's finest. Hello, how are you? Tell us how it's going.
Bam, it's going good. Got the New Mexico Standard here. About to get it cracking so we can have the show. I'm doing well, guys. How are you doing?
If I may speak for everybody, I think we're doing well. We're riding a sweet, sweet high after Thursday. Ooh. No, Saturday. I'm sorry. My days are all thrown off.
Right, here. Dylan? You got to figure out your days of the week.
Did you figure out how to keep your laptop on yet over there?
I did. I have a battery pack that I've got it plugged into. We're good to go. Chris, are we talking to you? Are you in New Mexico right now, or are you back in Southern California?
I am in New Mexico right now. Yeah.
So I think I'm closer to Chris than Chris is to you guys right now, which is pretty cool. I'm just north of you up in Colorado.
Okay.
Let's get into this because Orange County, we just talked about it. Orange County looks like they are right now the hottest team in the league when you look at the results over the last six matches, 5 victories in 6 matches. I know New Mexico is doing pretty good. What are your thoughts on this? Give us the lowdown on how New Mexico has been as of late and what Orange County should expect with the traveling team and potentially traveling fans from New Mexico.
You know, I was thinking about this as I was about to come on. I was like, I know last time we were having our fun and whatnot, and I know exactly where we were sitting as a club. You know, we were kicking off that season, and there were some doubts about head coach at the time, Zach Prince, and kind of his ethos and what that would look like for our season. And I remember being on the show, and of course someone threw out that lovely 5-0, and certainly the odds were heavily against me on the predictions. And then there was that nice beautiful 3-1 while I was flying to Cali and it was beautiful. So saying all that is saying what do we think about now, what things look like for New Mexico. Boys, hold on to your headsets because New Mexico is hot. Hot, hot, hot. Like wings, baby. Like it is like amazing right now. New coach, Eric Quill, which you guys are familiar with, obviously, if you followed a little bit of USL League One back in 2019 with North Texas, won the championship with your boy, Romualdo Domus. And obviously then after which he was at Columbus Crew, he has come here and he has changed the confidence of this club easily. Like we're watching this club. They're not like coming out playing on the defense, like, being on the protect. They're going out there. They're attacking. It is amazing. Like to watch every single player complete 180 of what they were before on the pitch. I mean, even the players that were getting no love are getting love from the fans. Let's put it like that.
They've definitely been hot, Chris. And I have a question for you. I'm Larry, by the way. Good to meet you,
Larry.
So yeah, you guys have not lost in your last 5. Previous 5, things were a little bit rough. Mm-hmm. I'd just like to point out to you that the last time somebody came to Orange County and they hadn't lost a game in their previous 5 matches, that was Monterey Bay, who has not won a game since. So how's that going to feel when you go home with an L in your back pocket and, your season taking a huge downturn because you got smacked up at the Ship?
Well, last time we went to Orange County, we stole one from you, I believe. And, that was so we're not in that same category.
that
let me just say this. Trust me, Larry, you cannot go toe-to-toe with Chris. Chris is going to be able to come back with anything you're going to get at him. He's very knowledgeable about not just New Mexico United, but USL and soccer in general. He's a smart man. You cannot get anything by him. I'm telling
the
you.
The only L I would leave with leaving your stadium is the fact that y'all don't have those hot dogs anymore at that stadium. Those real good hot dogs.
We had hot dogs?
Yeah. Is that a loss, though?
It is a loss. It is, truly. You know, if we can't go there and enjoy some cuisine while we get that dub, that's a loss.
All right.
Let me ask Chris, you. So, go ahead, Kelly.
Producer Andy would probably want me to reiterate that New Mexico is 4 from 5 for wins, with a draw in the middle there in their last five. And prior to that, it was 4 for 5 in terms of losses with a draw there. Is it safe to say that the ghost of Troy Lesesne has finally left New Mexico? And instead of drawing every game, you guys are now, is it too much feast or famine, or is this all down to Eric Quill?
Man, it's Eric Quill, dude. Eric Quill has literally come in and he has changed the confidence. I mean, like I said, it's to know what it was to see even his first couple of games, to see the boys, like, you know, changing directions. I mean, players playing harder, you know, not too many silly mistakes. I mean, look, when we went out to Vegas and obviously we had that game in the pocket and then we let them score, you know, that one was like, oh, no, come on, you know. And then from there, it was just, what do? We went into the Derby rivals' house, got that 3 points in that grand finale, back-to-back years, you know, that nice fireworks show that we always love there. And it's been nice since then, man. And he, you know, he has challenged them to play much differently. And one of the things he'd said in the presser the other day was he challenged them to go toe-to-toe with the first team in the division and show that they belong just the same. And I mean, you know, you guys kind of caught the highlights. Should watch the game though. 3-0 looked so nice. It was great. You know, I am not dreading any Olaskis this time. Let's be like that.
Right now it's time for you to chime in. Don't pull a Brad again.
Sorry. No, I was just trying to figure something. I had a random video on another tab on my computer playing, so I apologize if I get confused right now. But let me ask you, Chris, how important is this match? And I'll ask everyone in this. How important is this match for Orange County and New Mexico? If you look at the standings, both teams are sitting at 28 points, although New Mexico does have a couple matches in hand. But at the end of this weekend, both of these teams have a shot at being fourth in the league if they can pull off this win and some other matches go their way. San Diego, Colorado Springs, if they result in a draw. If Oakland loses, then either of these teams could be sitting fourth. How big is it for both New Mexico and Orange County to have that chance to move up and not high in the table from one match?
Undoubtedly, it's a big game for both teams. I mean, right? I mean, it's things are getting a little shucken up, if we will, at the top. And this is the time when we would really need to be able, or even Orange County would need to be able to kind of make a move, right? I mean, the worst thing that could come out of it for you is drawing at home. Obviously, we'll get a point and we'll still, you know, stay unbeaten. So will you. But, like, you know, but the reality is, while things are still a mystery at the top, you know, with El Paso and SAC and even Colorado, you know, this is the time to rise up, the time to emerge and to get up there, you know, and you know, that's why I always love these seasons, because, I mean, obviously teams can peak early, right? And if you think about it, Open Cup really didn't do any love for any of the teams that are at the top other than maybe SAC, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like there's any other like reasonings out there, you know, fallbacks. Yeah, that's right. But you know, it's huge. It's a huge game. Right. And so that's the biggest thing. I love that y'all did what y'all did to Memphis. You know, I mean, that was certainly a statement game for you.
I'm going to let the other gentlemen on the show, I'll let them come in and share their thoughts on how big this match is. But we do have another guest that's waiting in the green room that I do not want to spend, you know, make them wait too long. So I want to get one last thing in from you, Chris. Any last thought on this upcoming match quickly and your score prediction for Orange County versus New Mexico at Championship Soccer Stadium?
last thoughts on this match. Honestly, I think it's just, we're just going to come out swinging. I think New Mexico, they're taking that momentum now. And so you're going to see virtually a different team. I mean, this team, the way they played, could honestly probably go toe-to-toe with any of the top five teams easily. And so that's going to be something definitely to keep your eyes on. You know, picking up new signings, Jacobo Reyes from Monterrey, and picking up Isaac Zulata from Colombian national team. You know, he's played for another squad over there too as well. And of course, having Nicky Hernandez from San Antonio. I mean, you know, that's not too bad. Pulling someone who won a championship last year. The boys are playing hot, and you know, I wouldn't doubt it if there aren't any more Eric Quill mainstays from North Texas or wherever else he's got in his books coming around eventually. So hot times, guys. You know, make sure you got your citrus for those hot flavors in your mouth. And predictions. Well, we did do 3-1. I know last time we got that 3-1. I don't know what I predicted last time. But I will say I love a 5-2 New Mexico game.
Ooh.
I love one of those.
The good thing is we have one of the players from OC in the green room, and they can hear that prediction. So I know he's going to share this with the team and let them know to come out strong against your New Mexico United, Chris.
I hope he does.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that's Chris Walker, soccer genius, New Mexico fan, Black Diamonds, a bunch of work. Chris, you're welcome to hang out with us if you want to hang out with us a little bit longer and help us out the rest of the show. Stay tuned, and we'll give you a chance to plug yourself. But we do have a guest that we want to bring on. He was a big part of this weekend's victory in Memphis that saw Orange County come from behind multiple times to pick up 3 points on the road. And that's Mr. Kyle Scott. Welcome, sir. Let me just ask you this straight up. You made that pass to Mark McNulty, probably the best of assist of the season so far for Orange County. At what point after you made that pass did you know this is a goal?
Hi, guys. First of all, obviously, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and talk with you guys and have a good show. I mean, it happened pretty fast, to be honest. I think Sparky did most of the work. He's the natural goal scorer. So, if you put Sparky in a good position, I mean, as you can see now, he's starting to get his goals. And yeah, I mean, I backed Sparky to finish it 9 times out of 10. So I seen him running one-on-one with the keeper, and yeah, I knew it was going to be a goal. So,
yeah, him putting that goal, giving that opportunity, I'm going to tell you this, perfect pass from you. I loved watching that. It looked like a slow motion thing for me when I was watching that live too. You know, obviously you joined the team mid last season. The wasn't a great season last season. And obviously the start of this season wasn't exciting for the team, the players, the fans, but over the last couple months, y'all have really figured out your identity, your what y'all need to do to win. And it's showing in the last 6 matches, 5 victories. You can throw away that one RGV match because of, you know, crazy weather, a non-call when Colin Shuttler is knocked while he's going up for the ball, which sort of leads to a bad little couple minutes there in the match. How did this team, how have they gelled? How have you seen this going from the beginning of the season to where you are now? What have you noticed from the players, the team, the coaching staff that's gotten the team to where they are right now?
Yeah, I mean, at the start of the season, I think you could see the talent was there. We have a really good group of players, and I mean, you could see that at the start, but things obviously just weren't clicking for whatever reason. We got unlucky a few games. I think there was a few games we should have won, Tampa being one of them. And yeah, we just needed the confidence boost to obviously win a few and you know, get the points coming in. I would say when Morton obviously took over as head coach, the players have bought into what he wanted to do. we sat down as a group and obviously said it's not good enough and things need to change. They said, look around the room, there's good players here, experienced young guys, players played at a high level. So, you know, we had an open chat and yeah, after that we bought into the training sessions and everything he wanted to do. And yeah, I mean, it started clicking and yeah, as you can see, I think we're playing really, really, really well. And I think we could beat anyone at this moment in time. So long may it continue. So yeah, the lads are a good group of players. Honestly, I've been at some other teams before and I feel like every single one of them brings something to the team, which is different. So it helps us a lot.
Kyle, you mentioned it maybe a bit of a change for the club and maybe some good players, probably yourself included there. Is this just a matter of this is the most regularly you've played in terms of senior football? Is this just a change in the style? What's made you such a reliable and such a dangerous player in the last 2-3 months now?
Yeah, I mean, personally for me, it's obviously game time. When I came at the end during the season last season, I think it was like 10 games left. So I hadn't been playing for a few months before that. And obviously before that, I was at Cincinnati, which I didn't play much for however long I was there. So it's been a few years where I got, you know, game time and consistent minutes, which obviously, you know, you find your rhythm and your form and stuff. So yeah, right now I'm obviously getting that and I feel fit and yeah, so I'm feeling good. So,
Kyle, for those people who are listening at home, describe your game to them, because we always talk to you as the guy who makes that key pass in the midfield, who is scrappy and wins the ball. How would you define your own gameplay?
Yeah, I think I'm a technical midfielder. I like to get on the ball as much as possible. I like to be in a team that obviously dominates possession and you know, you can get yourself in higher positions, but I like coming low as well. Yeah, I like moving, passing and moving, one and two touch and find spaces. And yeah, obviously try to get as many assists as I can. I think I focus on the assists more than goals because I don't really score a lot of goals. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of my game. And I'm up and down the pitch. I favour on the left side more than the right side. As obvious reasons, you can come in and stuff. So yeah.
All right, and I got one more for you. So you mentioned you do like assisting more than you're scoring. However, I think one player on the team who likes scoring more than assisting is Sparky, which you talked about earlier. Currently, you have 3 assists on the year. Sparky has 2 goals. Which ends up higher, your assists or Sparky's goals?
I got to bat myself, so I'm gonna say my assists. But I hope I can get up there and Sparky's goals can get up there as well. So it will help the team both ways. So.
Hey, Kyle, Larry, how you doing, buddy?
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Good, good. I want to go back to that pass that you made to Sparky and the goal. A little earlier in the show, before you came on, we were discussing what was Morten Carlsen saying when that pass went through. Because if you look at the replay, I don't know if you watched the replay or not, but the gaffer's standing on the sidelines and he's got his arms spread out wide. He's like this. What do you think Morten was saying at that point?
And me knowing more, and I'm thinking he's saying, I hope, well, Sparky score. Because I think Sparky missed one 5 minutes before that, an open goal. So I think he was ready to say something to Sparky if he didn't score, I'm guessing. So, yeah.
All right. I got one more for you tonight. Obviously, you're playing soccer at you're playing professional soccer at a high level. At what age did you realize you had a talent for this game and that, you know, just maybe there was the possibility that you could sign a contract, get a paycheck to be a professional athlete? How old were you when you started feeling that was coming?
I mean, I started at a young age. I had an older brother who played football. So as soon as he was playing soccer 5, 6, you know, I was joining in with his team. And I think you just continue playing and enjoying it. And then obviously, as you get older and you start going to school and stuff, you start playing in school games. And, you know, people watch. I mean, everyone loves football. So yeah, I mean, you just keep growing as your ages get older. And then, yeah, I'd probably say I joined Southampton at, I think I was 10 years old. So when I joined there from Bristol, obviously, it's a long way away. So I kind of knew that maybe, you know, if I continue enjoying and playing, then I might be able to get as high as I can. So yeah,
it's not a bad way to make a living.
Yeah, I know. I'm grateful. I'm happy. I enjoy it. I love it. So it's good.
Definitely, not everyone gets a chance to do that, right? I'm gonna. We have a friend from New Mexico. He's a good friend of the show. He's been on here multiple times. We want to give him an opportunity to ask you a question. Feel free if he asks you anything tactical or, you know, what you expect from Orange County, tell him a little fib so he can relay that message on to his players or his team that he follows.
Hey, what's going on, Kyle? How you doing, Chris?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, you know, just I guess just a general question is, I mean, what have you guys been seeing out of the New Mexican side of the last couple of weeks? And, and I guess what's kind of the buzz around there versus maybe how the team started off with the other coach?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we focus on ourselves a lot more because we're playing good and we trust ourselves. So I'll be honest, I've seen the results of New Mexico. I've seen them doing well, but I mean, I'm pretty sure the last 7-8 games, I think we've got the most points in the whole league at the moment. So, I mean, yeah, we know they're winning games, and obviously we played you guys close to the start of the season, and you guys got us then, which, yeah.
We won.
Yeah. I'm sure this Saturday, yeah, we're different. You guys are different, but
yeah,
I'm pretty confident we'll come out on top. So, yeah.
So let me ask you this, Kyle, because we were talking just before you came on to the show about the opportunity for both Orange County and New Mexico. Currently even on points, although New Mexico has a couple of matches in hand. But by the end of the match, you potentially can move up to fifth or even fourth in the table, you know, based on other results in the league. How does that motivate you? How does it motivate the team to really work to get the 3 points in this match?
Yeah, I mean, it motivates everyone, I think. Obviously, we spoke about we're only 7 points off being top place. So, I mean, when you look at it like that, we're not far off it at all. So, yeah, obviously, when you're winning games, you get the extra buzz and you're excited for the next one. Because obviously, when you're in good form, it's hard to stop. So, yeah, we take each game as it comes. But, I mean, every game is 3 points and they all matter. So,
well, we hope it's 3 points come Saturday. Away from the pitch, we always have a bunch of nonsense we'd like to ask players and get to know you guys a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's usually taco related. So hopefully you've had some Mexican food since you've gotten here. You don't look like it.
I'm going to apologize now. I'm not a taco man.
Is there a favorite place that you've, restaurant that you visited? Doesn't have to be tacos so far in Orange County.
I like going to the Spectrum Center in Irvine. I go to PF Chang's. That's probably one of my favorites. I go to either Milan or Sparky quite a lot. So a nice Thursday or Friday dinner. I'd probably say that's my number one around here. Yeah.
Nice. Ray likes to ask music questions. I'm just going to beat him to it. Who's got the best music taste in the locker room and who's got the worst?
The worst, I'll give you it right now, Seth. I'm sorry, Seth. I'm sure he's gonna see this, but when he's on the aux, you don't know what's gonna come out. So he's down there. There's a few players that've never been on it, so I can't really judge them. The best. Seth's normally always on it, so it's actually quite hard to see who is the best. You come in at 8 a.m. and he's already on the speaker, so it's quite tough. But I'd put myself up there. I got some good taste in music. Ashish. I like when Ashish is on there. We let Thomas pick a few songs sometimes, which is different, but I don't mind it. And probably Kevin as well. The rest, I haven't heard of them, so I can't judge the others.
Let me just say this really quick, Kyle. You're not the first person to say Seth has the worst taste in music. So you're not alone on that one.
It doesn't surprise me.
So we've heard from others. Go ahead.
No, sometimes he does play some good stuff, but it's just, you honestly, you don't know what's going to come out of it. So
we've heard from others, and you mentioned you have some decent taste. What are, you know, if you were to open up your Spotify or your Apple Music right now, what song would play if you opened up and started playing right now?
I haven't got a favorite song. I listen to people like Stormzy. I don't know if you heard of him. He's an English over in England. Obviously, you have Drake. There's a guy called Little TJ I listen to. So I have a, I can't give a preference of a song, but there's a few artists I listen to.
A couple final ones, I think. You're no stranger to the beach. I mean, you were in Southampton for a little bit. What's your favorite place in Orange County you visited so far?
Laguna Beach is up there. I like going down to the beach. I like the sun. Obviously, when I've been in England, it's always cold. So even now, I like coming outside because it's warm. So I take advantage of it. But I'll just say a day in the Laguna Beach, you know, after training, if we have a day off or something, I like going down there. It's really nice.
I'm sure it beats Newcastle, and I know it beats Cincinnati. So we're glad you're enjoying the most of it. And then the final one I ask every single person that comes on the show, Kyle, what is your favorite vegetable and how do you prepare it?
You know, I'm going to say it now. I seen Sparky's last week and he said sweet corn. And I would go with him until you said it's not a vegetable. So I'm going to say I wouldn't prepare it. I'm a terrible cook. I don't cook. I go out or order stuff, and I'll be honest. But I would probably say it's plain and simple and boring, but broccoli.
I respect it. That's a solid take.
Yeah.
I will say, at least having that you've spent time in Cincinnati, you didn't come back and say spaghetti with chili on top of it, because apparently that's like every kind of food type to Cincinnatians.
Yeah, they loved it. I actually never tried it because I refused. I just didn't like the look of it. I got forced a number of times, but yeah, I said no thanks. So
good decision. Kyle, I want to give you a moment right now to just share any thought on your mind. Say anything you want to say to the fans that may be listening live. They may listen later on the podcast version. Any message you have for them?
Obviously, come out on the weekend. We've got quite a few home games coming up now. So, you know, the boys are playing good, and the support you give us is obviously makes a huge difference. So the more of that, obviously, the better buzz and the better we play. So, yeah, we appreciate it. We notice it. And if you guys keep coming, hopefully we're entertaining you and you know, keeping you guys happy. And, you know, hope have a strong end to the season and do what we all want. So, yeah.
There we go. Everyone, thank you once again, Mr. Kyle Scott.
Before we let him go. Kyle, in following you on Instagram, you post a lot of golf shots, a lot of photographs from the golf course. So two questions in regards to that. One, what is your handicap? Two, what's your favorite course that you've played in Orange County?
My handicap, I'm off 10. I expect better of myself considering how much I actually do play. I love golf, and there's a few of us on the team that play, so it is good. Favorite course, we played Monarch Beach a few times. That was really nice. And there's Chabuco, I think it's called. That's my two favorite. But I like going to Palm Springs. You know, if we have a day off, and whenever we do, or we like going out there. Yeah, I know I do post too much golf, but you know, it happens.
That's a quality problem to have. Have you played Tierra's Creek yet?
Yeah, I played Tierra's Creek. Me and Danny used to go there a lot. That's a really nice course, but it's so hard to get on at the moment. It's crazy. Every time you look for a tee time, you have to book for like 6 weeks in 6 weeks' time. So yes. Other than that, it's a lovely place. And they have good food there as well. So
They do. That's why I'm actually having my wedding there, but that's another story altogether.
Oh, lovely. That'll be a great day.
It's going to be a good day.
When is the wedding?
October 11th next year.
Okay. I'll remember that.
Yes.
Long time away. Long time away.
Long time away. We got time.
Yeah. So once again, everyone, that's midfielder for your Orange County Soccer Club, Kyle Scott. If you don't remember, the man that made that amazing pass to Sparky this past weekend for one of the great goals. Kyle, thank you so much for taking some time and joining us. Keep up the great work with the team. Pass the message on that Chris is calling you guys out, thinking you guys are going to blow it. And we look forward to this match. And thank you so much and look forward to talking to you again soon.
No worries. My pleasure. Thank you, guys. See you on the weekend. Kyle. Thank you.
Perfect. Awesome answers from Kyle there. It's always awesome to learn and hear from the players. And Kyle was a great guest to have on here. I want to get back to really quick what we were talking about right before Kyle came on. We gave Chris an opportunity to talk about how important this match is, being that these teams could wind up in fourth place by the end of the results this weekend. Each of you, Dylan, Brad, Larry, quick thoughts on it.
Based upon what our schedule is in August versus what New Mexico's schedule is in August, and this isn't a smack talk or anything. Mm-hmm. Again, we have to play the four best teams in the league in the month of August. I feel like this game is a must win because we cannot go into those four games with a loss in our back pocket. We need a point at minimum going into those four games. And that's what that is why this is probably going to be one of the most important games of the year for us, I believe.
Yeah, I guess I'll go ahead and go second. So last time we did play each other, it was the Dolling and Hurst show. But with Dolling now, I believe, on loan with Vegas, and you threw a bunch of names at us all at once. How does New Mexico want to break down Orange County going into this game?
Ooh, how do we want to break down? Okay. I mean, simply, I think just keeping it out of the back line, to be honest with you. I mean, the back four are playing really well right now. And, you know, they're really being monsters in the midfield. So, ultimately, I think the ways that we're going to be able to, like, kind of dismantle what Orange County does is just simply by being on the front foot and keeping up the confidence that they've had. I mean, they go out there and they play and they challenge and, you know, they get real creative in the attacking third and put some dangerous balls down there. So we have a lot of talent right there. And I mean, we're not just talking the normal Amanda Morenos and Daniel Bruce's. I mean, there are a lot of different faces now. You know, this squad is shaping up much differently for you guys.
Dylan, do you have any last question, comment before we go to our match predictions?
I'll just say what the power rankings say, even though those are meaningless, but no one's taken more points than Orange County in the last eight matches. And look, we've shown that we can fight back against teams in difficult situations. We've shown we can win matches for once. It's a big test here to show that we can actually win against the better teams in the league. And that, and if it goes well in August, I would expect Orange County to be up there for the conversation of maybe getting a second star sometime late November. And if it doesn't go well, then, you know, analyze, hope you stay in the playoffs and try it again next time.
I mean, we did just beat the fourth place team in the East. So we've shown that we could beat some of the higher up teams. I know we always like to say the East isn't as good as the West. I'm sure Chris would agree, but
we just beat the number one team in the West.
Okay.
And then there was silence.
Yeah, he just shut me up there. you know that's coming when Chris is on. He knows what to say. Let's get to our score predictions and go to each of you and just share with us the final goal score and who's scoring first for Orange County. Chris, feel free. If you want to just share who's scoring first for New Mexico, if you're picking them to score goals, although that would be a very bad choice. Dylan, you go first.
We go 2-1 Orange County. Why bet against Milan? He showed us on Saturday why we always pick from first.
Brad?
It worked for me last week, so I'll just replicate it and hope that it goes again this week. 4-1 Orange County. Sparky scores first.
Larry?
I got to stick with it. Six games, five predictions of six games, five wins, five predictions of a 2-0 loss by Orange County Soccer Club. So I'm sticking with what's working for me. 2-0 New Mexico.
Gambler's fallacy right there, guys. Coming from the guy who lives in Nevada, that is a gambler's fallacy.
Dylan loves those type of predictions, though. So that's why he's happy right now, smiling. Chris, what's your prediction?
Man, look, I'll go ahead and knock it down for you guys. I mean, 4-2, New Mexico win. And as far as the score goes, love to go ahead and say Mondo Moreno gets number 7 and, you know, is getting himself closer and closer to that golden boot race that isn't going away anytime fast.
Well, for my prediction, here's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go 3-1 Orange County, and the first goal of the night is going to come from Brian Olosky. And let me ask you this, Chris, because we did this recently with our friends from Down in the Valley. Would you like to put a little wager in this match? The losing side does a donation to a charity of choice from the winning side.
Okay. I like it. Yeah, let's do it. And I'll say,
simple. It could be like simple, like a $20 or $25 bet on this.
Yeah. What you guys can do when you, you know,
he's already picking the donation location. He's that confident in New Mexico.
Yeah. Well, folks. I mean, what you guys could do is you guys could totally, you know, hit up our Black Diamonds and Pearls, Yellow and Black Back to School Supply Drive, you know, and, help us with some school supplies for the kids here in the in our international district that we're doing a watch party for in 2 weeks.
Hey, really quick, we'll do that. And I think people will actually, we'll share some information, provide that to us. We'll tweet it out, thread it out, whatever other social media there is that we can do. We'll share that information. People can make donations to that. I like Larry's idea in the back chats here. Maybe we bet beards, losing side, either Larry or Chris shave off the beards. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I could do it. I mean, if he's down.
He's that confident, Larry. Larry's not as confident as you are, Chris.
My girl will be like,
Larry, I had volunteered your beard against the Monterey Bay podcast team. And you would have kept it. So come on, you got to do it for the team. I did it on my own accord.
I would bet my beard, but I don't have one to bet. So,
well, you know what they say about a man without a beard? It's like a woman with one. It's not right.
I don't think you can say that anymore, Larry.
Sure, I can.
I have a little bit going, so at least I'm not as clean shaven as Brad there. But here we go, Chris. If New Mexico somehow miraculously wins this match, I will personally make a donation of $25 to the cause. I will ask anyone else that wants to just make a donation for whatever reason they can do so. Again, we'll share that information. Just get that to us, Chris.
Sounds good.
Let's do this. Let's get into some random thoughts before we wrap up this episode. Let's go first to Dylan. Random thought.
I am amazed that we had a full show and Chris Walker and a player, and we are going to end this on time. Something crazy is going on here.
You're jinxing it because we're cutting it close here. Maybe we'll do that. Brad, random thought.
I'm going to skip my random thought in lieu of letting Larry talk for the next 2 minutes until we run out of time.
Larry, go for it.
No, I meant to ask you earlier. Hey, Chris, I am a Sunderland fan. I am all about the Black Cats. Did you go to the game?
Yeah, I was at the game. It was really nice.
Yeah, awesome. I'm a little bit jealous. I have no random thoughts. Chris, it was awesome getting to meet you. I hope we get to meet in person one day.
Yeah, sure.
You know, the one random thought I have is, you know, let's go County. Keep it going.
Chris, do you have a random thought for us?
Yeah, random thought. Root beer floats are good any time of the day.
Even if it's like 30 below zero, a root beer float is a good thing, is what you're saying, Chris.
That's it. Yeah.
I'm concerned that Chris is waking up 6:30 in the morning and going, you know what sounds great right now? You know, a Bundaberg and some ice cream.
Well, you know, my girlfriend flew to Orlando today and I got home and I was super irresponsible. I had a root beer float for breakfast.
That's not irresponsible. That's living right, brother.
We got to hurry things up so we can finish on time here. My random thought, hey, everyone heard, I'm in Colorado. I tried we tried a restaurant at SS Park.
Don't try the
chili. I had a hatch, or not a hatch, a hash with ham, bacon, sausage, country gravy, and a biscuit with an egg on top. It's actually pretty good. And yeah, no, Chris, I will never try chili. My family's from New Mexico. I know the rules. I'm not going to cheat New Mexico.
It's like sweet relish up there.
Yes, I refuse to try it out, but it was pretty good. I'm enjoying my vacation. I got another. I'm here till Friday here now in Granby. If anyone's in this area, come look for me. Say hi. I was wearing my shirt today around town. I spoke to two people on a hayride, two families, and they both at least knew of Orange County Soccer Club. With that said, we're going to wrap things up. I want to thank all of our guests tonight, including Chris Walker. New Mexico expert, and Black Diamonds, Kyle Scott, midfielder for Orange County Soccer Club. I also want to thank Dylan, Brad, Larry, and our producer, Andy, for everything, plus all of our listeners that participates in the chats. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. I told you, Dylan, you jinxed it. We are... Oh!